are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And returning with me today is one of my regular collaborators. He's always welcomed on the show by both myself and, I know, you, the listening audience. Very popular guest. And we're going to be continuing our series. We haven't been on for a while. Its structure is strategy in slow motion. How the Jewish Criminal Syndicate Controls the United States. This is going to be part five. It is, of course, the great Dr. Eric Carlstrom, and I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you, Andy. It's always a pleasure to be with you and move forward and in our journey of discovery and hopefully truth-telling and discovery. So I really appreciate that opportunity here.
Excellent. And before we start, firstly, let's jump into your websites. Give the audience details of your various websites. And folks, these will all be included in the post for this show. So if you're going to go to the post, you don't have to write it down. You could click on and save them in your favorites now. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I taught geography, university geography, for 30 years at three universities. I've retired in 2011, but I've kept busy with my websites. Two of the websites relate to the subject that I focused on academically, and those are naturalclimatechange.org and sanluisvalleywaterwatch.com. In towards the latter part of my career, I got involved through my human ecology class in a number of political types of issues like war and terrorism, etc. And began other extended websites. These are big websites. They are digital libraries of information that are free. And out of that came 911nwo.com, and as well as gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which is just a couple of years old, which came out of 911nwo.com. And then I've always enjoyed music, and I continue to record and make CDs, and these are featured on my music website, which is the only commercial website, ericcarlstrom.com, just my name. So, yeah, those are my websites, and those are the topics that I've focused in on, and it really brought us together in the sense that in the process of researching the New World Religion, in the context of 9/11, newworldorder.com, that website, I ran across your book and, of course, the books of Tex Mars, who is a common kind of acquaintance of both of ours. And so this topic then is where we both landed through different paths. But yeah, those are my websites, and I'll be referring to articles and posts that are on my 911nwo.com and my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com websites.
Thank you very much, Eric. And the subject of today's show, as I say, it's part five of our Structured Strategy in Slow Motion series, How the Jewish Criminal Syndicate Controls the United States. It's going to be the Kay Griggs story. Now, this is quite a heavy subject, so Eric just mentioned his music website, ericcarlstrom.com, and we're going to start with a little light-hearted song that Eric put together with a friend. It's called All God's Critters, so I'm going to mute us both now and play this for you.
All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. Well, listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. The old cow just goes, meow. Well, dogs and the cats, they take up the middle while the honeybee hums and the cricket fiddles, the donkey brays and the pony neighs. The old coyote howls. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. We'll
listen to the top where the little birds sing on the melodies with the high notes ringing. The hoot owl hollers over everything, and the jaybird disagrees. Well, singing in the nighttime, singing in the day, the little duck quacks, then he's on his way. The possum ain't got much to say, and the porcupine talks to himself. Hawkeye's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. It's a simple song of living sung everywhere by the ox and the fox and the grizzly bear, the grumpy alligator and the hawk above, the sly raccoon and the turtle dove. Hawkeye's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now.
Well, I thought that was very good fun. Eric, what can you tell us about the origins of that song? And I understand that you made some of the animal noises in it as well.
Yeah, that's a fun song. That's a song written by Bill Staines. And I recorded it with my sister there singing. She's a Karen Fricke, wonderful voice. And we've done a lot of collaborating musically over the years. And we started singing together as kids. And yeah, I did make the animal noises. And and Don Richmond is a guy who's got he's a wonderful musician who has a recording studio in Alamosa. We recorded it there, and he helped us with some of the high and low notes, the bass fiddle notes, and the little bird sounds there. So we had fun making that. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to feature that is I'm not a white supremacist at all. I believe that, you know, God made all of us. You know, black, white, all the different colors and races. But, you know, there's this group called the Synagogue of Satan, and I don't believe they're singing in God's choir. I think they're singing in the opposite camp. So that really is, you know, what we're getting at here, you know, in our discussions on this series and other shows we've done. You know, who are the people that are, you know, orchestrating all these wars and setting up this totalitarian police state and trying to mind control and target people who don't fall in line? Who are these people? And I think we've done we've exposed a lot. And in today's show, I was hoping we could go over some of the material that was put out by a lady named Kay Griggs. Kay Griggs Pollard, she comes from a very distinguished and old Virginia family. She's a descendant of James Madison, co-author of the U.S. Constitution and the guy who wrote most of the Bill of Rights. She's got a bachelor's and a master's degree in history, including Scottish history. And she very, very well connected. Her family has lots of, you know, doctors in their line and million military intelligence people during the wars. I grew up in Virginia, and maybe, you know, they're very proud of their history back there. It's one of the first, of course, colonies. So anyway, she was assistant director of the Chamber of Commerce in Norfolk, Virginia, first woman on the board of Foreign Commerce Club in Norfolk, Virginia. As it happens, she was flagged, profiled, targeted, surveilled, and harassed, and gang-stalked by standard gang-stalking electronic torture protocols for being, quote, a troublemaker. She was married to this very, very high-level military guy, George Griggs, her second husband, who was, as she describes it, a government assassin. And we'll get into him in a second. But the fact that she was stalked in this manner, and she was smart enough to figure out what was happening, is proof conclusive that the U.S. military deploys these psychological warfare or psychoterrorism tactics and non-lethal electronic weapons to destroy and dispose of people that they have flagged as targets, who are typically whistleblowers, dissidents, or disposable wives or troublemakers, etc. And here's a quote directly from Kay. Again, I let me just mention that I've got on my 9/11 NWO.com website and my gang stalking mind control cults.com website, two extended articles about this. One has the four interviews that Kay Griggs did in 1998 with a Reverend Rick Strawcutter, in which 8 hours, she gave 8 hour interviews, and I've loaded these on my website under, if you're on 911nwo.com, you can go to the controllers or the War on Terror articles, whatever. And there's an article there called Kay Griggs Interviews. And the title is The U.S. Military is a Mind Control Operation Run by Sexual Deviants, Homo and Bisexuals, Pedophiles. Okay, on that post, you will find all four of these interviews, about 2 hours each, that she did in 1998. And I have transcribed them to the extent that I took what I thought were the most important points and have written them down. Then also, I loaded on that same post an interview she did in 2005 with Jeff Rentz, and I transcribed that. And then three interviews, I believe, that she did with Daryl Bradford Smith of the French Connection in 2005 and 2006. Now, in these interviews, now we're talking about eight interviews now, probably about 12 hours worth or more, she lays it out. Now, this woman is very smart. Again, a very well-connected family, descendant of James Madison. Here's what she says. Also, you can find this under gang stalking, subheading on my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. So the point of our discussion here, Andy, is I want this information out. People need to know this stuff. This lady is an insider. Her husband, as we'll see, is an extreme insider and very high level. You want to know how things work, you know, really? Listen to the interviews. Watch Kay Griggs. She's a very delightful person. She's a Christian. She's just a sweet lady, but she knows so much. And the reason she knows so much, Andy, is that her husband, George Griggs, as we'll get into, or 11 years she was married to him, he was a raging alcoholic. And he, a psychopath for sure, but also a created psychopath, mind-controlled in many ways. And he would drink very, very regularly. And when he drank, he talked incessantly. So for the first 3 years of their marriage, he tried to explain to Kay, usually when he was drunk, you know, in the evening at dinner or whatever, what he was doing. So she learned all this stuff, and now she passed it on to the rest of us in these interviews. Here's a quote from her. And this goes back to the gang stalking thing. They are psychologically and financially trying to destroy me because I'm telling the truth. I was being handled psychologically. On the 4th of March, 1996, my home was broken into. They tried threatening me and so forth. Each time I was totally traumatized. They were sabotaging my car. They are doing psychological operations in my home. This is being done to other women and wives and men who don't go along with the program. They poison people. They would mind jag me. That's her term for the psychological warfare that she's been going through. Having fun with me psychologically. This is why I got flagged. I complained about the topless go-go dancers in the officers' club dining hall. Oh, that's quite a sin, isn't it? Got to get rid of this woman. General Gray had me marked as a troublemaker. When the psyching, quote unquote, which is the gang stalking, was beginning, I had white blouses, but they would break into my house and paint black dots on them. Later, they would put lots of batteries in a drawer. Then they put about 12 screwdrivers on the table. And then she says, if people transgress that line, where they upset somebody in the high command, just like in Germany, and she's going to make a lot of German connections with Nazi Germany here, they all of a sudden move from being a person to being a, quote, target, from being a human being to being a, quote, target, therefore the enemy, which is also what happened in Germany during World War II and elsewhere. We've got to stop the growth of this stuff. I'm still quoting her. It's a growth industry, and it's growing exponentially. They are intending to destroy America. The frightening thing is that this exact same pattern happened in Nazi Germany. Okay, that's Kay Griggs. Now let me introduce you to George Griggs. Colonel George Griggs was, I presume he's retired now, but I don't know. I'm sure he is. Head of, I don't know, though. head of special operations under Admiral Kelso of NATO, chief of staff for General Al Gray, who runs all the dirty tricks for the U.S. Army. Colonel George Griggs was a Princeton graduate and the cap and gown fraternity class of 1959 and graduate of the NATO Defense College in Rome. And he was a spy and special ops assassin from the period of the Vietnam War onward. He was former chief of staff, Marine Atlantic, head of the intelligence group that went to and set up the Beirut bombing, in which 241 Marines were killed. He knew about it ahead of time. They planned it, along with Ariel Sharon of Israel. They were already meeting over there before the Beirut bombing, she says. Also, he was in NATO intelligence wet ops, which is killing people, psychological operations. She says, and she did a lot of research on his past, that he was he himself was probably an MK Ultra victim. That is to say, he was mind controlled when he was in prep school. They put him through, gave him a full ride through very, very prestigious schools, the Heinz prep school and then Princeton, of course. And he was involved in joint mob military partnership in the Vietnam War and thereafter. And he was part of a group of Zionists who came over from Germany. And she says they retire from the military and go into drug and secondary weapons sales and money laundering. And he himself was heavily involved and high up in the Iran-Contra scandal, you know, arms for drug sales, that kind of thing, and the Lebanon operation. She says his father was of German descent and worked in the mob in Atlantic City. And she says, my husband is so close to George H.W. Bush, McFarland, Scowcroft, and all these guys. My husband was way above Bo Greitz's level, who I believe was an Army guerrilla commando. My husband's circle included Henry Kissinger, Crow, Alexander Haig, McFarland, Victor Krulak. You see, Gray is the control guy. Gray and Joy are the big guys for the dirty tricks, psyops. Yes, George was the chief of staff for the Marine Corps for Gray's boys, the assassins, who were working with General Steiner, General Jim Joy, and General Krulak, and they were working for the Nelson Rockefeller group in the Republican Party. Actually, they were working both sides, Democrat and Republican, with people like Walt Rostow. And they're all, and then she gets breaks into, but I think she's going to say Zionist. George was arranging for the Balkans War ahead of time, getting the weapons stockpiled and prepositioned in northern Norway. They are literally inventing wars. They have the war games places like the one in Suffolk where they have the simulation. These are growing. It's a growth industry. The war gaming, the planning wars. They use civilian ships. Military guys have military duty on these ships. They use these guys, lure them with sex and money. This kind of behavior is overtaking our democracy. And I'm quoting her a lot. And she says George Griggs worked with a thing called the Brotherhood or the Firm. I've also heard it called the Organization and the Enterprise. But this is the profiteers from the drugs, illegal drug sales and weapons sales, etc. But here we go into something that, again, structure, strategy, and slow motion. How did George Griggs get put in his position? He was part of a group that Alan Dulles brought along in the early 50s when Alan Dulles was head of the CIA. And this group included people like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and some very, very highly placed people. Here's what K. Griggs says. Yes, they are recruited psychologically, and the pattern has been set for a long time. They are groomed to be able to be handled or controlled through weaknesses. In special operations, all the people are part of this firm. Once they get colonel, they get initiated, they get drunk, dine in, shellback, have anal sex, group sex. This brotherhood all belongs to the New Jersey Brooklyn Mafia. So many are Masons now. The Marine Corps guys are the hitmen. They'll work for anybody. They switch hats from the Army to the Navy to the State Department, just like that. The man who started the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which preceded the CIA, William Donovan, was recruiting German existentialists and communists. What are they doing running our nation? They have more affinity for the state of Israel than America. The judges are not independent, the judge advocate generals that she talks about. They are part of the military hierarchy that follows orders. Marines control powerful congressional committees. I met all these drug lords, she says. They cultivate the sons of prominent families. They are called rising stars. These are the homosexual ones that will have sex with the top people. The State Department finds them. Then they, quote unquote, turn them and then let them know if they ever get in trouble, come on over to us. Huge planes loaded with, I'm still quoting Kay Griggs, huge planes loaded with drugs would land at military bases. For example, this is my comment, Edmina, Arkansas, during Bill Clinton's governorship during the 1980s and the Iran-Contra scandal. They brought them in, the Norwegians, the Brits, the drugs. They would come down through Burma, Turkey. The banks were in Beirut, Panama, Mexico, and St. Thomas. The laundering of cash. You can very easily find out who the drug lords are, she says. And we're talking inside information here. The guys who are controlling the flow of drugs are military officers. I wondered why Ray Moore was going down to Lake Chapala, Mexico, or Guadalajara. There would be another Ken Millis. These are guys who are part of the Brotherhood. They are all going down to Mexico. Ray and another guy all got cancer all of a sudden. This is an elaborate big business. All the chemicals and biologicals. We manufactured the chemicals and biologicals that were in Iraq. Donald Rumsfeld was the CEO of Searle and other companies. They were manufacturing deadly chemicals. The Marine Corps, Al Krulak, General Al Gray, Brent Scowcroft, Ed Wilson, Carl Mundy, who was CFR. His father was a German Nazi. These are the people who sold the biologicals and chemicals to Saddam Hussein. They are members of the firm. This brotherhood that my husband was in feels they are totally above the law and they protect each other. And they are determined to destroy this country. It's an international brotherhood, and it's very much Freemasonic. This brotherhood is a very small group. George Griggs, her ex-husband, Bob Edwards, Donald Rumsfeld, William Colby, who was head of the CIA, George Shultz, who was Secretary of State under various presidents, Frank Carlucci, and Alan Dulles. Dulles, of course, he was head of the CIA under Eisenhower. Alan Dulles, I believe, is the one responsible for bringing my husband, Carlucci, and Rummy in. All these were in Princeton's cap and gown fraternity. My Uncle Ben had been in that club. I began to connect the dots. I'm still quoting Kay Griggs. These are young men on scholarship. They don't have parents. They're poor. They have no careers. So they are really dependent on the political military hoops and people to promote them. And Alan Dulles pretty much oversaw their initial getting into this political spheres of power. There were German individuals, SS, and she says 200,000 of them, who came into this country after World War II in Operation Paperclip. I know because my grandfather was involved with that as a naval intelligence officer, doctor, during World War II. But when George was talking to me, and I knew his family were German, I realized what he was talking about was institutionalized. It is structural and vital to the system. Okay, let me explain a little bit here. What's going on is young men like George are identified at, you know, at a young age. They come from a family that is somehow connected. His father was in the Atlantic City mob, and he was of German descent. So he is now brought along by, Alan Dulles and given a full ride to the very, very elite Heinz school. He is then homosexually turned by his handlers, even at the age of 14 and 15, and he was placed in with a bunch of children of the Saudis. Ibn Saud were at the same school, and this had been in the early 50s. And then they're doing all these homosexual escapades with their teachers and with guys like, some existentialists. She says they're usually existentialists. And then, of course, she says when he went to Princeton, cap and gown, this is a real intelligence operations type school. And more of the same, a lot of partying, a lot of homosexual partying with their teachers. this is pretty heavy stuff. This is grim stuff. But this apparently is how the elite like to do it. And so after, of course, he becomes, kind of dirtied up, then they have, the control files on him, just like J. Edgar Hoover would do during his 50-year reign at FBI. He would get the smut on, various people and then control them through the control of that information. Of course, he himself was a homosexual. So we see, Henry Kissinger, homosexual. So we start to see this gigantic homosexual Jewish network, not always Jewish, but they're always in the background. And then she says, who's behind all this? Well, it's Caspar Weinberg, Henry Kissinger, Nicholas Walt Whitman Rostow, Eugene Debs Rostow, all Jews, by the way. What's going on here? is it K. Griggs' words, these guys are not even born in America. They're training mercenaries now to kill on an order, not killing because people are breaking into their homes, not killing because they are bad, but just, we want to control this country. This is what George told me. It's political. The Marine Corps is the political arm of a group that wants to run everything, control the drugs, sell the weapons, keep the weapons, and the drug money flowing. This just warms your heart, doesn't it, Andy? Our leaders are scumbags. Now, here we switch over a little bit to the Rentz interviews, Jeff Rentz, where Jeff says, did you hear from him about how long the Iraq war involvement was pre-planned? And Kay says, well, he discussed a lot about Iran and Dhaka Valley and the Israelis, the Tel Aviv of Israelis. Rentz, what did he think of the Zionist Israelis? Griggs, well, they're totally involved in everything that was going on because they gave these assassin duo teams. They have these assassin duo teams like the one that got Bill Cosby's son. They have an Israeli and American teamed up, and they are usually flamers. They have sex with each other. They are shooters and Marines. She says, I met the Israeli mother of this guy who was part of an assassination team. It was some sort of jurisdictional thing. The Israeli would do assassinations in America, and the American would do assassinations in Israel. Isn't that nice? These people are arch criminals. They should be in jail. They should be hung, you know, for treason. And yet these are the people in control. They, Israelis, know when we are having all our operations, he says. They know everything because they are meeting every day in Quantico with the FBI and the CIA. Now, let me just repeat that. They, the Israelis, know when we are having all our operations. They know everything because they are meeting every day in Quantico with the FBI and the CIA. It's just not fair, she says, because if they want to cause trouble, which I believe they naturally want to do, I mean, look at the USS Liberty. And then Rentz says, well, that's one example. Also, there is a suggestion that the 240 Marines who were killed in Beirut in the bombing were taken out by Israelis as well. Griggs, yes, that Ariel Sharon, you know, who was the defense minister, I believe, at that time in Israel, was involved with that. And my husband said he knew about it beforehand. And there he was, a Marine, knowing about it, and he did nothing. Okay, structure is strategy in slow motion. They homosexually recruit these young people, often from relatively poor families, and then they are put in positions of power, and they migrate from one position to the next. We have to remember that Rumsfeld and Cheney go back to the Nixon administration back in the 70s, and here they were presiding over 9/11 in 2001 because they were high up in the Bush administration some 30 years later. And this would be part of the same Dulles team. Not all Jews, but the people behind the scenes that are controlling the situation tend to be Jews. Okay, let's go back to earlier. Would you like to break in, Andy? I'm just rattling here. I'm trying to get a lot of information out. But if you'd like to break in, please do so.
No, it's, thank you for pausing. But the way that you're going through it, I think it's just quite important. You just asked me to come in if there is anything that you want me to comment on. But I'm finding it fascinating, the material that you go through. So please continue, Eric.
Okay, so let's go to the Jewish connection with early America. Now, this comes out of the Smith, Daryl Bradford Smith interview with Kay Griggs, also on the same post. And by the way, I also have this another post on both websites in which I basically extract what I, you know, these most important comments. And the title of the post is Who and What is the Brotherhood Firm Syndicate? How does it and their organized stalking system work? Highlights from Kay Griggs' interviews, 1998-2005. Okay, let's go to early America. And remember, this lady comes from a very old Virginia family going back to James Madison. She got her first degree in Virginia history and her second degree in Scottish history as pertaining to Virginia history. So, Smith, what we know today is this group, Jews, came into America as long as the 1760s with very large sacks of money to set themselves up. You knew in Virginia politics that certain members of the Jewish elite were having a very bizarre sex parties way back then, weren't they? Griggs says, absolutely. And the Zionist group in Norfolk, where she's from, which, by the way, is one of the largest military establishments and a port in America, in Norfolk, which I've been studying, which took over the Masonic Temple Number 1, this Zionist group. As a history major in Virginia history, I was very interested in our war for independence. I had a grandfather who was a Scottish Rite Freemason. Smith, it's a network. Many people believe billionaires are the elite club. We're not talking about billionaires. We're talking about people with thousands and thousands of billions in their control. They are only five or six families in the world that can claim that kind of wealth. What we see is these guys arrived in America. They were already here as moneylenders, but they were not in control of the political structure. What they did was they went into these Scottish Rite Masonic halls and provided good loans and good money to people at very reasonable rates and got themselves ensconced in the system quite easily. Daryl Bradford Smith is no dummy, and he knew a lot, knows a lot. Griggs, in Virginia, guys like Uriah P. Levy, who was one of the early 1776 Navy Commodore types that they brag about. He was really a big crook in a hood. But because of his connections in France with the Rothschild family and the Parisian Grand Lodge of the Orient, they were totally connected to the anarchist revolutionaries who had money and who were funding wars because it was profitable. Let me repeat that. They were totally connected to the anarchist revolutionaries who had money and who were funding wars because it was profitable. There's the underlying theme through all of the wars since then. And the war for independence was founded by a conduit through the Rothschilds' loans. And this is Kay Gray speaking. And George Bush's ancestors, two of them, George and Solomon Bush, who were brothers, were members of the Jewish elite. Now, they spelled their name B-U-S-C-H, and they came from Germany. They were German Jews. Now they're crypto Jews. They pretend to be Christian. This is in a book about elite Jewish families. By the way, the Bushes are a third-tier Illuminati family, according to Eustace Mullins in his book, The World Order. And so therefore, they would serve the second and first tier, which would be, you know, second would be Harrimans and Rockefellers, and first tier Illuminati would be the Rothschilds, of course. And then she says, I've been tracking the 400 Club in Norfolk and Tidewater because of their connections with Jewish gangster Meyer Lansky and with Nathan Sharansky's group and the Jewish Agency for Israel. You know, they've all won the David Ben-Gurion Award. He was the first prime minister of Israel. And they're all connected to Meyer Lansky, this major mafia figure. But I just think they have divided loyalties, as Kay speaking. How can they be Americans when they condone the false flag murders of peoples? And they intimidate people, and they rule through secrecy and subversion. Actually, the Israeli Defense Force group has been in Iran for a long time. And we're training, this is 2005, and we're training some of their intelligence officers and sabotaging plane sales to Sadat or to the Egyptian government by blowing up planes that individuals are on. And they are totally preoccupied with this. And then, you know, I hope we can continue this in the next one, because she names the names of the people that were offed and the names of the people that, you know, you want to know who did Oklahoma City? The bombing in 1993 or 4 killed, I don't know, 600 people. General Jim Joy and Carl Steiner of the U.S. Army, of the Special Ops Dirty Tricks people. And then she says, and I sincerely believe, in fact, I am sure that 9/11 was an Israeli special operation to scare us. Okay, we've come to that conclusion independently, Andy, but here she's saying it. Smith, the fact is that all roads do point to them. All the evidence does, from Larry Silverstein, the owner of the World Trade Center building, Jewish friend of Netanyahu, to Frank Lowry, with the Lauder family making the transfer of the World Trade Center buildings to Silverstein possible through its connections to Pataki. Then you look at the dancing Israeli, the arts, dancing Israelis, the art students, the moving companies. Odigo gave all the Jews a warning that morning to get out of the building, to not show up to work. All those things have been proven. And then Kay says, and the Pentagon too. Dove Zakheim, a rabbi, was the head of the financial wing of the Pentagon, and that was the only part that was blown up. And by the way, they were missing $2.6 trillion on the day before 9/11. Probably was used to orchestrate 9/11. It was a trillion-dollar operation. And a friend, and a friend of a spy who was trying to handle me, who worked with the Justice Department, a Zionist anarchist Jew, claims that he was working for Dov Zakheim in the Pentagon and was warned that morning not to come to work. I'm quoting Kay Griggs, and all the financial records at the Pentagon were destroyed. Smith, that Dove Zakheim thing, that's where this $2.6 trillion of Pentagon money is missing. Griggs, I believe the reason they are trying to destroy this country is the Zionist Committee of 400, the Norfolk Zionist group. It's very angry with the United States and Britain because our countries allow people to talk. Kay Griggs is so, she's almost entertaining the way she speaks. We can still say what we think and feel, even if we know we might be targeted sometime down the road. I read there are 22 websites that the Zionist Israelis don't like that have this Al-Minar broadcast out of Baltimore. And Great Britain has sites. It's called Memorat TV. They monitor Arab channels, and they, I believe, are the ones who had Sadat murdered. They do these Purim murders. You know, Bush, of course, that's a Jewish holiday, based on the Book of Esther. You know, Bush announced he was going to bomb Iraq on Purim, and they number each and every one of these every year. Purim is in March, and then they have murders in October. But they murder their own. They murdered Sadat. It was all done according to the rabbinical calendar.
Eric, just to throw in, my book, The Synagogue of Satan, was banned by Amazon on the first day of Purim of 2016.
Interesting connection.
Along with the other books, you know, all those other books that they had taken down. How interesting it happened on that day.
Yeah, we're just starting to see how they control the world, you know, with their sick methods. Smith, that rabbinical group we've discovered is the Chabad Lubavitchers. Dov Zakheim and Ari Fleischer are rabbis with the Chabad Lubavitch. Both, of course, were high in the Bush administration during World War, during 9/11. Griggs, that makes sense because certain rabbis, like Rabbi Goldstein, enjoy murdering people. Smith, everyone is mired in, oh, it's the Luciferians, it's the this, it's the that. It's very simple if you look at the facts. It's a small group of people in charge of this whole thing. All roads lead back to them. Now, of course, we're talking now Jews and Israel. Of course, the truth is a dangerous thing. Griggs, and the whole Army Quartermaster Corps has been taken over by these people. Of course, Jews. Everyone in Richmond knows this. They are very corrupt people. They lie, they cheat, they steal. They want everything done in secrecy. They revel in murder at their Purim holiday. The children are indoctrinated at Purim with these bloody ears in the cookies that they eat. And Purim is a holiday in March, which Mardi Gras comes from, which started with the Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick-type masquerade, basically a Jewish nudist party. Stanley Kubrick, the filmmaker, was a Jew who got sick and tired of it. He knew that these people, Jews, in Brooklyn and Long Island are very sick people who condone murder just to have their way. So I think their plan was to mind control the... Now, this is a very important point, and it's, you know, we could do a whole show on this. I think their plan was to mind control the innocent Arab desert people, you know, who were showing hospitality to everyone, to create a Prussian sort of killer class of people using sex. And by the way, pedophilia is always in the background here. And that's certainly what they did to the oldest sons of Ibn Saud at the Hind School, where my husband went, because they brought these boys over, innocent oldest sons of the Saudi prince. And who was running that whole Hind School but these Marxist Zionists in Great Britain? The Russell Trust, which also built the Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale. That's no coincidence. Mind-controlling young boys using sex. It's the old Marxist trick, the old Purim trick. Mark Clark, a Zionist, was Eisenhower's handler. His whole family was controlling the whole Quartermaster Corps. This is one of the most corrupt men since Judah P. Benjamin and Uriah P. Levy. He took lots of jewels and things and hid them in the salt mines of Germany. The same thing was done after the Russian Revolution, where Armin Hammer and his crowd just stole the Russian eggs and sold it in New York. It was their own little thing, and Armin Hammer's best friend was Lenin. He had pictures of Lenin in his office. Armin Hammer was doing business with some of these Israeli operatives in Egypt, guys like Gorbanifar, and that's going back to the Iran-Contra scandal, who were working with my husband and McFarlane and that whole crowd. The Marines realize it because there are a lot of cherry Marines, and those are homosexual Marines that she succinctly describes as being on the bottom. and they are very easily manipulated and controlled. Wow. Now you're talking, you know, heavy, heavy insights here into the structure of how things work and the people, the hidden hand, the people are manipulating things through, you know, crime and homosexuality you know, Masonic lodges, et cetera. If we got a little more time, I'll just give some more insights from the interview. She says at the highest levels, the Army and the military work as partners. They are partnered up with the Brooklyn, New Jersey mob. Of course, that would be mostly Zionist Jewish controlled. She says the ports are run by homosexual hierarchy. She says the skull and bones induction methods, which is homosexual, are now used in the army. This goes back to the German thing, the German disease. It's what the German high command did. They say it goes back to Greece. Now the chiefs of staff have to do this, she says. They get everybody really drunk. Sometimes they call it dining in. Not everybody does it, but the ones who do it, they're the rising stars, and they get right up to the top. And then Griggs says murder. It's strategic. If there's a critical mass that is building that opposes the prevailing policy, and George, of course, was involved in plans and policy, and that group included guys like Richard Armitage, Richard Gates, head of the CIA, McFarland, Buck Ravel. It was a coordinating subgroup in the White House that George worked with. They all thought they were special because they had been given these jobs. It was a small buddy-buddy group that coalesced during Vietnam. These operations were done through the State Department. They would pop off somebody who was British in a heartbeat. The people who worked with these Marines are Israeli assassins, and they train at Quantico. We talked about that. These flamers, mixed American and Israeli homosexual kill teams, would go to other countries and do these murders and blame them on the Arabs. There are always Israelis involved, even if you look at Abu Ghraib. We can't, as a country, be looked at as an honest broker if there is nobody in the State Department who even speaks the Arab languages or who cares about the Arab cause. She goes on to say that she wanted to work with the State Department, and she went to all the offices but found just about everybody wearing yarmulkes. They're all Jewish. They have maps of Israel on the wall. There was no Christians, no Muslims, only Jews working in the State Department Near East section. I think we can believe Kay Griggs. By the way, Kay Griggs' life was saved by Sarah McClendon. Kay Griggs was under such pressure through this gang stalking operation, including electronic torture and harassment. She was taken in by a senior White House correspondent, Sarah McClendon, who was a senior White House correspondent from the era of Roosevelt all the way up through Clinton, 50 years or so. And Sarah believed her story. Now, there's a lady who's been around. Sarah believed her and saved her life by taking her in for a year. Then Rentz, going back to the conversation, Jeff Rentz says, a coup d'etat has occurred by another nation and a geopolitical philosophy known as Zionism. This is a Jewish supremacist Zionist group. Well, I mean, there's just one bombshell after another in these interviews. Should I continue? Would you like to pause and talk about any of this stuff? I mean, she names the names of who did a lot of these operations. She takes it back to World War II. She says the World War II Dresden bombing, from the World War II Dresden bombing to the JFK assassination, was in the U.S. military was controlled by people like Walt Whitman Rostow, a Jew, and his crowd that were behind these things. She said Rostow was a very dangerous man, a communist. He was one of the wise men in the Kennedy administration. I think he was probably responsible for the movement that got Kennedy murdered. I believe it was an Israeli group that did it with some of these rogues. Okay, there she's saying Israeli groups did 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination. Rostow got us into the Vietnam War because he wanted to sell the weapons. Victor H. Krulak, the present commandant's, Charles C. Krulak's father, was his lackey. Rostow went with General Taylor and wrote the report that got us into the Vietnam War. Excuse, this is an aside from me. May he rot in hell. All the time, the Pentagon was saying, no, no, no. He and Heinz Kissinger were cheerleaders for the weapons sales. He and Eugene Debs Rostow. These were all Jewish communists. And she says, this revolutionary terrorist group, and then she calls them the German Abwehr, which is, you know, Secret Service, is still controlling the Marines and the Army. Steiner's group, they all operate together. The man who started this program during the Vietnam War, William Donovan, who started the OSS, used communists who were in the Spanish communist movement. They actually promoted communists in the OSS, which was started by Donovan. So they were promoting and using communists who wanted to get rid of our form of government as a stepping stone to world domination. Guess what? Then the PNAC Project for a New American Century, neoconservative Jews, write the script then for the world domination project, which we are now embarked in thanks to this hidden hand, which we now have pretty well identified. So this group, going back to Kay Grieve's quote now, this is her speaking. So this group now in the Army and the Marine Corps has communists at the very top who are really existentialists. They don't believe in God or Christ. They live for the moment. They believe in one world, which has no religions in it. This group is still being run out of Paris, she says. They put Napoleon in power and Oliver Cromwell in England. They were probably behind the Roman and even Egyptian empires. They put puppet people in power and they run it from behind the scenes. All these assassins are anarchists and all are mob related. They use mob funding and, of course, drug money to pay for the brand new weapons. This is the reason we had the war in Bosnia. This was simply a stage to train assassins, to be a market for brand new weapons, to be a marketplace so that the drug money can be used and the army runs the whole show. CIA is a bogus thing to confuse us and get us off the track. Okay, I've read things that disagree with that, certainly, but Kay's contention is that most of this is coming out of the army and that the CIA was staffed always with military intelligence people. Fletcher Prouty's book, The Secret Team, the CIA and its allies in control of the United States and the world, which came out in 1973, would disagree with her. But she has insider information, too, so I wouldn't completely discount it. She says it's training and doctrine command. It's NATO. It's SHAPE, Supreme Headquarters Allied Powers Europe, which was started by President Eisenhower, by the way, who was a crypto Jew. It's a totally independent corporation. Its main function is to sell weapons and launder money. It's all being done by army people who are now joint. The word joint is used to describe the people who came over illegally to escape Nazi Germany, the paperclip Zionists, etc. You see the organized crime, the Meyer Lansky, the Jewish Kabbalistic group who don't believe in God because they believe they have to get rid of all the good people. And they get brownie points in their little cult for doing that. They really do this. They are killing good people on purpose. So we start to see it comes back down to this group of Kabbalistic Jews, and a lot of it's coming out of Germany. There's a real Nazi connection there too, which is very confusing. She says everybody knows they brought in probably more than 200,000 Nazi soldiers and SS and wacko scientists and psychologists, and all of them, most of them had the German disease, homosexuality, because it was their culture. It's what the Pink Triangle Boys were. Marine Colonel Ron Ray, a Christian, writes about this. Cherry Marines, the homosexuality and the group sex orgies, which brought down the German government. It'd probably bring down the American government too, Andy, if you want to look for a ray of hope here. What they are doing is pedophilia. They were raping little boys. They involved the Catholic priests. And then she gives some stories about what was done by the Krupp family to sell weapons to the German high command. During World War II, they would take these big ships down near these islands near Italy and bring these little boys on board and they'd rape them. And you know, it was really pretty gross. And then she says what happened was that the mothers of these boys got very upset and went to Germany and told the wives and the mothers of the German officers. And she said that's when it stopped. And interesting. So mothers get involved here. She says China's Mao Zedong was trained in Paris. So was Cambodia's leader, Pol Pot. As boys, they were turned psychologically, which is to say raped by priests. This is the pattern. This is why it's so important to know what they are doing to innocent little boys in the Army and Marines. Now, when she said innocent little boys, she's probably talking about 17, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Why is it the homosexuals rise up so much faster than those who don't? They're called rising stars. This is what the State Department calls those who are controlled. And then again, she says she went to every office in the State Department Erie section because she wanted peace. And as a Christian, she knew it was possible and she wanted it. But she was to find out that it was completely run by Jews. She says she wanted to find out who the leaders were. She knew Aaron David Miller was there. I knew about David Satterfield, who wasn't really David Satterfield. His family were Zionists who changed their name to Satterfield, who was a Virginia senator back in the 1930s, who had a wonderful name. It's like Jonathan Pollard. He took the name Pollard, which wasn't his name. He was the top Israeli spy, because of Governor Pollard. They take the names of honorable people, and then they're not honorable. This is Kate Greig speaking. It's like a snake changing colors for the moment. I went to the Near East section of the State Department, and I found there was not one single Protestant, not one single Muslim, religious Saudi, Jordanian, not one Christian Protestant, not one Roman Catholic, not one plain old American. Every single person in all of those offices were either Zionists, Israelis, or whatever. They all had pictures, maps of Israel all over the walls and magazines. All Israel, Israel, Israel. They wore yarmulkes. This is our State Department. The spokesman for the whole State Department at that time was a Zionist. There needs to be fairness in the State Department. And of course, look what's happening now, Andy, and where we're gearing up for an attack on Iran. And this comes right out of the Project for the New American Century script, which the last four presidents have followed, which was written by neoconservative Jews.
I've got something to jump in with, because you talked about the homosexuality in the United States military. This is a Daily Mail article, folks, so not a conspiracy website. And it's from 16th of September 2014. Headline: when a gunnery sergeant tells you to take off your clothes, you better take off your clothes. The male victims of military rape tell their heartbreaking stories. Men who enlist in the US Armed Forces are 10 times more likely to become victims of sexual assault. And it basically says, in 2012 alone, there were an estimated 14,200 reports of male rape in the United States military, and they reckon that the figure will probably be double that because most of the victims are too ashamed to report that they have been raped. So that goes to show the extent of male rape in the United States military. Shocking figures, but it completely backs up what Kay Griggs has been saying, doesn't it, Eric? And by the way, we've got, let me have a look at the clock, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. Back to you.
Thank you, Andy. That's a very good addition. Yeah, you know, there are some really obvious conclusions to this information. Number one, we've got to sever this special relationship with Israel because they're destroying America. In other words, stop giving them $3+ billion of aid every year and stop letting them run our country. Number two, we've got to demilitarize. We've got to, we don't need to be Israel's whore, as Representative James Traficante put it. We don't need to be doing the lapdog strongman for Israel and conducting their wars for them in the Middle East. We don't need to be ushering in their global one world government with, which is their Jewish utopia. America needs to sever this relationship entirely with Israel. It probably needs to figure out ways of curtailing the activities of the Sionim and the, you know, 8-some million officially Jews in America who are definitely working with Israel to make these things happen. You know, there's some big changes that need to happen as a result of this information. This is information which has to lead to response. We cannot tolerate this situation. We can't tolerate a situation in which young men who enlist are raped. That's not tolerable. The people that are conducting these things are criminals, and they need to be tried, and they need to be convicted, and they need to be punished. We need to demilitarize the United States. We have, you know, the U.S. military has gotten half of the taxpayer funds since World War II. We're a war-based economy. Current budget is $800 billion a year for the Pentagon, which is greater than the next 8 countries combined. Now, there's no excuse for that. However, we are full speed ahead on the world domination project for Israel. This, Americans need to understand this. They need to understand that this is not in America's interest. This is, we are the lapdog of Israel. Just as Ariel Sharon, who was then Prime Minister of Israel, said on the month after 9/11, we, the Jews in Israel, control America and the Americans know it. This is not tolerable. This is not, this should not be tolerated. So your point is well taken. The corruption is beyond the pale. America either has to clean up its act or else it has to, go the way of, you know, other corrupt empires of the past, you know, the Nazis, the communist East Germans, the Soviet Russia. I mean, these are all controlled by the same corrupt factions.
Excellent.
So action is required here. I mean, you can't know this information and sit back, oh, that's interesting. No, this is intolerable. This is these are criminals. George Griggs is a criminal. Most of the people that he hang out with, Kissinger, is a international, he's Jewish German, by the way, international criminal. He's a homosexual. He's a pervert. George H.W. Bush, same thing, pedophile. George W. Bush, all these skull and bones, Bushes, all Satanists. We cannot have our country run by Jewish Masonic Satanists, but that's the case now.
I don't know if you were aware, we're going to have to wrap it up, but there was a program called The Secret Rulers of the World, which was a documentary by a Jewish journalist called John Ronson on Channel 4, I think 1998. And they followed different people around, like David Icke, trying to mock them and what have you. But the journalists got very scared when they were going to a Bilderberg conference with Jim Tucker. You remember Jim Tucker from American Free Press? You know, he used to, and the Spotlight, and he was their roving reporter who got the information on Bilderberg. And he made a comment about Kissinger. I managed to get hold of him at some point. And he said to him about something that he'd heard. And Kissinger goes, "That was a private meeting. That was a private meeting." He said, basically, the voice that Kissinger uses isn't the one that he uses in private. He's got this real effeminate voice in private. And that was something that he said. But I'll always remember. I found it very interesting. And the only thing to throw in, you mentioned 680 people died in Oklahoma. That's the amount of injured. I think the death toll was 168. So I just wanted to clarify that for, you know, people. Yeah. There'd be people out there who say, oh, I can't hold any of this validity to any of this information because there was one mistake, you know what I mean? So we always have to correct where we can. But I appreciate you going through so much material and you've given us so much today, Eric. So I want to thank you for this, and I'm sure that we will be continuing this series for as long as you would like. So I want to thank Eric so much for joining me today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye. Now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.